We have seen this all the time from the government of UAE and Dubai very specifically. The support that is being provided for startups, especially when it comes to new technologies and in new domains, is unlimited.
Hey, what's going on? I hope you're well and having a good week as always. So got a really interesting episode for you this week. Now, you may have seen recently a major announcement out of Dubai, the Dubai Metaverse Strategy, a framework from the government there to turn Dubai into one of the top 10 metaverse economies in the world, as well as a global hub for the metaverse. Now, off the back of that announcement, Dubai hosted an amazing event called the Dubai Metaverse Assembly with some of the biggest players in the space all in attendance. The likes of The Sandbox, Decentraland Foundation, Meta, Microsoft, FTX, and many more. I actually attended the event and was blown away by it. A very exciting and impressive vision from this region to be the hub of all things metaverse. I traveled out there with a metaverse project called 2117, which we dive fully into on this episode. I am now an ambassador of the project and we'll hear all about it from our guests, Amin and Naufel, on this episode. I think it's a major development that's happening in this region and globally, and something to watch very closely indeed. As always, this show is of course brought to you by the brilliant EveryRealm, and if you want regular metaverse industry news, updates and events sent straight to your inbox, you need to subscribe to the EveryRealm Edition newsletter. It's free to do so, just head to everyrealm.substack.com, link is in the show notes, and I'll tell you a bit more about it later in the show. Finally, nothing in this podcast is financial or investment advice. Always do your own research. And with that said, let's dive into this week's episode. Amin, Naufel, great to have you on the show. Thank you very much for coming on. Before we kind of dive into the project that you're building, perhaps we could just start by giving some context and history about Dubai and the wider UAE region for anyone who hasn't visited yet, which they should, by the way. So Amin, maybe as an Emirati yourself, you could tell us a little bit more about what Dubai is like as a place and the values it holds there.
Hey, look, for sure, thanks for having us with you today. I believe as an Emirati, to give my feedback on my country is a straightforward. It's actually beneficial. You hear it from the people who visited Dubai and visited UAE. But as an Emirati that experienced this rapid change, believe it or not, we see the change happening over days as we are living here. For the people who are coming on and off and traveling to UAE and to Dubai specifically, they definitely see big changes happening. For us, we have seen it happening on different verticals, seeing it happening as a society, see it happening on the cultural level from every industry, be it education, healthcare, real estate. We have seen the boom that happened here within the country. But it all goes to, you know, how this evolution happened over time. You know, as a society that has been primarily focusing on, more than 50 years ago, primarily focusing on trade, diving, pearl diving, as well as date farming, you know, UAE has really took very ambitious vision and accelerated that growth massively. You're talking about the country that developed in 50 years. Many of our parents are even older than the country itself. But the achievement that has been made is a record-breaking achievement. We are all inspired, be it Emiratis, residents, visitors. There are people around the world that looks at Dubai as a benchmark, that looks at Dubai, and looks at UAE in terms of what we are achieving in this country. So yes, you know, as an Emirati, I experienced a lot of change happening. The question would be, actually, I can throw it back at you, Luke. You know, we had the honor to host you for a few days here with us. It was also your first time to basically be around. You can tell us, what did you experience? How was your experience over the few days here?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Yeah, it was amazing for me because I didn't know, you know, a lot about the UAE region or Dubai. I'd never been, as you say. And I had an amazing time. It was the hospitality there was second to none. I think, it was, you know, amazing service everywhere, and really felt the hub of, you know, this future tech and this vision that everyone's aligned on, especially in Dubai. It was cool. So we went to this Metaverse Assembly event where there was, you know, hundreds of the kind of most important thought leaders in this space all came together, and you kindly brought me along to it, and it was amazing to see. I had a real kind of buzz and feeling about, you know, Dubai becoming kind of the hub of this metaverse space. So it was amazing to see, and great to have you on to talk a little bit more about it. So enjoyed it thoroughly, and great food as well. I think we had non-stop excellent food the whole time, so it was five stars from me. I loved it. It was great stuff. Naufal, maybe we could talk as well about a recent announcement that came out of the region with the Dubai Metaverse strategy. So this was a big moment for the entire space. It's you know, talking about this grand vision to push this whole space forward. Maybe you could tell us a little bit what was said in that announcement and how you know, it's planning on helping Dubai become this major Metaverse hub. That I definitely felt during my time there. So yeah, could you tell us a little bit more about that?
I think the main thing that came out from the Dubai government regarding the Dubai Metaverse strategy is really more of a framework rather than legislations or regulations. And this is what I like in general about Dubai. Everything that's being built from the government, they're not trying to restrict the development or regulate it. What they're trying is just to frame it. So one of the major things is really just the positioning and Dubai becoming one of the top 10 metaverse directions in the world, or metaverse locations in the world, but also being able to attract or create 1,000 companies in the field, as well as having around 40,000 jobs by 2030, which is not a small amount. It's actually quite massive for a country of 9 million people.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, it's a grand vision, and it all feels very aligned. It feels like stuff is getting done there. And yeah, it was exciting to see as well. And this event that we talked about, the Metaverse Assembly, which is kind of off the back of that announcement, was also in the Museum of the Future. So maybe you could just tell us about that a little bit and maybe introduce us to the Dubai Future Foundation as well, and kind of how that's involved as well.
So the Museum of the Future is, for me, and I think for a lot of people, one of the most beautiful buildings in the world. You've seen it from the outside. It's really this magnificent building. It looks like an orb, a jewel in the middle of the city, in the middle of the skyscrapers. It's also built with all the calligraphy and traditional Arabic writing in there. And it's been voted the most beautiful building in the world, actually, in 2021. On top of that, what the government, or what Dubai Future Foundation, that actually manages the Museum of the Future, is looking at is really building this ecosystem around the future, where there is a focus mainly on the economies that are going to be the industries that are going to be booming in the future and how to support them right now. Because this is, if you look at it and if you take a step back, as Amin is saying, Dubai has been focused a lot initially when the country was not yet formed, a lot on trading and date farming and pearl diving and so on. But the moment the country was formed, the vision was clear. And every couple of years, we have a milestone. So we had a milestone for Expo that happened last year. Now the next milestone is really bringing on board, and it's the vision of 2030, I believe, right, Amin? And that's basically focusing on new industries, bringing those new industries and being the hub to them. And it's not just a question of frameworking all of this, but also creating that infrastructure behind the support of the startups that work within these industries. And this is what DFF does. This is what Dubai Future Foundation does. They really help these industries in setting up business. They help them in terms of legislation. They help them in terms of regulation. They help them in terms of actually being that bridge between the creators, the builders, and the government, where they are the voice of the people within those industries and are actually advocating for them on their behalf to the government.
Yeah, and I mean, like, as CEO of Bedu, maybe you could just tell us a little bit more about the company as well, but also this whole strategy and push from the government there and this alignment, how is that helpful, you know, for you running a company in this space? Like, why is Dubai such a great place to kind of, you know, be involved with Metaverse activities?
So look, in addition to what Naufal has mentioned, we have seen this all the time from the government of UAE and Dubai very specifically. The support that is being provided for startups, especially when it comes to new technologies and in new domains, is unlimited. Be it an amount of business that they allocate for such companies or such startups from government perspective, the support when it comes to visibility in terms of events, exposure, networking activities that are possible, the different accelerator programs and incubation programs that the government sponsors and the governments basically take responsibility in bringing them forward. We have seen that in many, many years, be it in Web 2, be it in Web 3. Now we see it again. Maybe we see it in Web 3 much faster than we have seen it before. And the main reason is that things are progressing much faster. We are lucky to be in such an ecosystem. You have seen it with your own eyes in the on the assembly, Dubai being one of the first as a government entity as and as an emirate to host an event targeting private companies, startups, even private companies that are massive in the technology space, being present all together in one assembly, in one event, inviting the public, inviting subject matter experts into the space. This by itself gives an opportunity for us as a company that is developing and focusing on building something for the future, the right ecosystem to exist in terms of collaboration, exposure, in terms of building partnership. I think we are in a very interesting economy, as well as when it comes to geographically, we are in a very strategic location, you know, connecting the whole West with the East, especially in the Web3 space. You know, we can basically operate in many time zones, and we can basically, you know, try to work with the people in the Western world as well as with the Eastern world. So being present here is something definitely gives us an advantage. And even if we look at the strategy itself, as Nofal mentioned, the strategy itself, it does not restrict us. It gives us the main pillars that how we can serve that strategy. It gives us as well a direction of what the government is looking for here. And it's mainly a base for us to grow from, you know, and that's what we like about the initiative that the governments bring into the table, and especially in the Web3 space. You know, if we learned something, policies and strategy should not be designed in a way to restrict startups and people and individuals.
This show is brought to you by Every Realm, who are your portal to the metaverse. If you want to stay up to date with regular metaverse industry news, updates, and events, you need to subscribe to the Every Realm Edition newsletter. It covers the NFT economy, new projects, data and trends, the global crypto markets, and gaming content such as esports, metaverse games, and much more. It's totally free to sign up to, but there's also a premium version that gives paying members additional access to platforms and projects that are on EveryRealm's radar. So to stay up to date, just head to everyrealm.substack.com. If you want to dive in even deeper, you can also check out Realm Academy, the most comprehensive online learning platform for the metaverse and Web3 at everyrealm.com/academy. All the links are in the show notes, of course, and now it's back to the episode.
Yeah, I think, like, at least from the outside, from my point of view, that's what I noticed being there as well, is to have everyone aligned and the government aligned on that vision is so helpful when you're innovating in a new space, right? And you're, you know, a company who's breaking new ground that feels like everyone's on your side there, which was cool. It was cool to kind of feel that there, and that's great to have a bit of background, a bit of context about the region, and you know, in the context of metaverse stuff as well. So there's another major project that's a big vision from the UAE. Maybe you could tell us, Nofal, about the goal to colonize Mars by the year 2117. So this is a real life vision and plan for the region, and that kind of plays into what we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show. So yeah, maybe you could give us just a summary of that vision.
I think, yeah, this is a very interesting one, but we're so used to it here in Dubai. Like, really, the goals that the leadership puts up for us are so extravagant that, in, like, the first time you hear them, you're like, wait a second, is this actually feasible? But all the time, all these visions and all these goals have been achieved. So, as you said, in 2017, His Highness, the ruler of Dubai, Sheikh Mohammed, has announced the vision of having the first colony in Mars by the UAE in 100 years. So that gives you the year 2117. Now, how is this going to be built is what is actually being done right now. The custodial of this vision is the Mohammed bin Rashid Space Center, which is the UAE Space Center. And what they've been doing is really working all of this strategy so that in 100 years, we are able to get there. They've sent a probe to actually take pictures of the terrain in Mars, see what's happening there, where we could build a colony, how is that going to happen. And they're starting training now. They're building actually, I wouldn't call them examples, but they're building mini colonies here in the desert to actually train people that are going to be there and actually have all of this ecosystem built here for training purposes before it's being built there. And it's ongoing, really. The work, we've been to their offices a couple of times. We're actually partnered with the Mohammed bin Rashid Space Center in building 2117, our metaverse. And really what we're seeing is really continuous and constant learning and testing and working with other agencies, with other space agencies from around the world to actually be able to reach that vision. It is a massive vision. It's tremendous. It will need massive amounts of investments. It will need massive amounts of research. But you can see that every small milestone is being hit slowly and that it's getting there. And that's again the beauty of having visionaries in the leadership. They put the bar so high for us to achieve, and at the end we achieve them, probably maybe even earlier than the milestone.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's exciting when you kind of dive into it and to learn about what's going on, how it's being achieved, and like you say, hitting those milestones one by one is cool to see for sure. So that plays into what we're going to talk about next, which is this epic metaverse project that you both and your team are building. You've got some great partners we'll talk about as well, and a stellar team there for 2117, which is this metaverse. So maybe you could introduce us broadly to 2117, born out of the vision that we just talked about, the colonization of Mars, but also a unique project in its own right. It's a deeply thought out long-term metaverse plan with a multi-year roadmap, a significant resources to bring it to life as well, and far more than just a kind of one-off virtual experience or escape. So maybe you could introduce us to it and what are you ultimately setting out to do with 2117?
Yeah, it's important to start by making a very clear statement that when we are working on this metaverse, we are a strong believer in the technology itself. And while actually developing the metaverse, we found that there is a great opportunity to also have a strong storyline associated with it, a strong vision where storytelling becomes extremely immersive and experience-driven. People who are joining the metaverse can actually feel that experience and they can live it. So this is where the alignment happens between the metaverse 2117 and the actual Mars 2117 mission, that is the vision of the leader of Dubai and the custodians, Mohammed bin Rashid Space Center. That being said, what we are developing in 2117 will inherit the values of the people that had that vision, and this is where we link it to the actual company called Bedu, and the company Bedu, which is an Arabic word that comes from the Bedouins, and the Bedouins that explore the land, and the Bedouins that spread tremendous values like hospitality, respect, honesty, as well as humanity. And this is where we would like to focus on. We would like to bring these values and take them to the metaverse, where we create a world, a virtual world that complements real life, as well can encourage injection of these values, where there is a world that embraces the values of humanities and tolerance, a space where people can feel that there is respect, there is honesty, there is love through different part of what we are creating, not only from the storyline perspective, but also from the contribution that they will make in the metaverse. If I would produce content for the education sector, then I am actually producing that content for the better humanity and better embracing the values of tolerance and embracing the values of respect and honesty. If I would like to contribute to the progress of science, I'm also contributing to the progress of science for the good use of humanity, not for the bad use. And this is what we're trying to infuse and inject within 2117 in a very high level.
Yeah, absolutely. And you start to dive into it there, and we'll kind of go deeper into this to understand kind of where you are in this journey so far and what's happening next. But there's these four key pillars of 2117: society, environment, economy, and technology. So maybe you could just take us through them and talk a little bit more deeply about those visions and those four pillars.
Well, when we were building initially the whole 2117, we first started by doing obviously our research, seeing what's available there in the market, who are our competition, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. And obviously from there, we built our own unique approach to the metaverse. And this is why now we're talking about these four different pillars, which in our opinion, these are the main pillars to build in a world where people want to spend time, but at the same time, isn't a world that is a place for people to run away from real time. So we don't want to be that. We don't want, as Amin was saying, we want to be complementary to real life. We don't want to be a place for people to hide or to live away from their problems or something like that. We want to be a place where they come and actually find a solution maybe to their problem, but also we want to be a place that they enjoy and that helps them build on stronger achievements in real life. Now, if we're looking at society, for example, the type of society we're building is really a place where the citizens and the users are the people that are building this whole social strata. We didn't want to come and impose rules or impose a way to do things or any kind of approach. What we actually wanted to do is really create a place that advocates for values of tolerance, of unity, of freedom, of respect, and so on. However, we didn't want to be the ones that tell them this is what you have to do. So what we're creating really in the societal part is a place where they can have jobs, a place where they can vote for their own legislations, a place where they can propose their own legislations. Let's say they want to create, the society wants to create a new mean of transportation within 2117. Now, the House of Engineers, which is the initial house, is going to build those options. Those options then are going to go back to the whole society, to the whole user base for voting. Initially, it's going to be mainly the citizens who are going to be able to vote. So now that's being voted. What we do is we come and we take that design, we develop it, we create it basically on the metaverse, and then we give it back to them. Now they want to give it for free. That's their choice. They want to make it a mint for people to buy and then increase their house's treasury. That's also their own choice. But what we're trying to do is really just make sure that at the end, the whole society is benefiting from it, and then taking whatever result we've reached there and showing it to the real world and see, look, we were able to create this with people from all around the world being united and actually ending up in a place that is positive, that works together, that creates benefits for everyone. Now, if we're looking at the technology side, well, before that, sorry, the environment side. The environment, 2020 and COVID helped us a lot in realizing one. It helped us realize that we don't have to be sitting in our office to be able to do work. So you can work from anywhere. And the drawback of that is you lose the social touch. You lose that brainstorming. And look, you've been with us. You saw how busy it gets in the office. And like, hey, what do you think? And what do you want to do? And let's do this. And what? Like the feedback and the constant buzz and energy is lost. And we believe that through the metaverse, we can bring the positive sides of working together in an office, but without having to have the negative sides, which is consuming fuel, having a higher footprint when it comes to office spaces and so on. So people can have an office in the metaverse. They can meet together. They can spend the whole day together. They can brainstorm. They can use the whiteboards. They can work together in teams. They can do everything basically they can do in real life, but they don't have to drive from point A to point B. They don't have to use public transportation. They don't have to burn so much fuel. And on top of that, they don't have to have massive offices that need to be maintained, and that also creates a big impact on the environment. And this is why whatever we will be building within the metaverse, what we're trying to do is really making it give a positive impact on the environment. So another example that could be of interest here is something that we discussed with you even last time, nuclear engineers. There's a lot of blocks or bottlenecks when it comes to nuclear engineering. And the main reason is, one, the safety and security issues. And two is really the fact that people are afraid to make a mistake in real life. Now, using the metaverse, you will not be affecting the environment, you will not be affecting the economy, you will not be affecting people, but you can make mistakes, you can try things, you can actually even try to actually build those nuclear reactors that will be built on the engines of those rockets that will take us to actually Mars, right? And you can test them there, you can do everything there without having to use high resources for testing, without having to clear a specific space in case of emergencies or disasters or so on. So really, like, from an environment point of view, we're trying to create a place where people can test things without having an effect on real life. Technology from the other side is another beast of its own. Because, and this is again another topic we've been discussing a lot, it's right now, if someone uses VR to join a metaverse, after 30 minutes, people will start having headaches. And this is what in general happens. So people, we don't have yet that type of hardware that will allow us to get there. But not just from a hardware point of view, it's also from a software point of view. There is a lot of testing and a lot of technical side of things that are not yet, that we are not able to get there as an industry. And what we're doing is we're really enabling people and creating this hive mind that will come up with ideas that will end up impacting the actual software and hardware of the metaverse. So think about it this way. The houses that we've built, and I keep on using the example of House Initio, but the other houses have their objectives as well. Initio is just the tech part and the engineers and so on. Now these guys, if we're giving them a challenge, and you notice this, in anywhere around the world, the moment you give it a challenge to the internet is always up for it, you know? And this is what's happening here. If you give them a challenge, you tell them, listen, guys, we need to create hardware, or we need to help the next hardware developer, whomever that is, to actually create a product that's light, that's easily usable, that's cheap to manufacture at scale, and on top of that, that doesn't give you headaches. How do we do that? Using these people as your hive mind really creates an infinite number of ideas that can be tested on the metaverse without having to hire an R&D team that will cost billions of dollars and at the end maybe not come up with any results. It's really the way we're creating it is to help people be part of the development of their own future, be part of the development of Web3. We talk a lot about collaboration, community, and so on and so forth in Web3, but let's be honest, there are very few people who are doing that. There are very few people who are given the tools to help. If we're looking at other metaverse projects, whomever is building on those metaverses are people that either have a land or somehow related to a person that has a land. But what we're really doing here is we're allowing anyone to come with the wildest idea, run it by the council, run it by the community. The community likes your idea, then let's develop it. The last point from the four pillars is really the economy. Now, I touched on it in the beginning when I was talking about the society, but what we're trying to do in the economy is really bring everyone together into one place, allow them to monetize their knowledge, allow them to monetize their assets, allow them to monetize their skills. So how do we do that? Is through different approaches. What we're going to be doing initially is we're going to reach back to our community. We're going to be like, listen, guys, what are your professions? Tell us what you're doing and what would you like to see in the metaverse. One example that we've been talking a lot about, Amin and I, is really retail. The retail experience, if you own a sneakers shop, isn't going to be the same if it's an e-commerce, right? If it's on the metaverse, you can actually see the products in 3D. You can even put it on yourself, because again, we're going with a hyper-realistic metaverse here, right? Put it on yourself, try it, and then order it and receive it there. You're basically moving the whole experience of buying online to a new level. And that's just the example of retail and e-commerce. If we're looking at other parts, which like services or training, or anything else, we're really looking at a whole untapped ecosystem that tomorrow we will have new jobs. For example, let's say you have a flower shop, right? The flower shop has, I don't know, 10,000 types of flowers. So these assets, these flower assets need to be built so that they are being used by the owner of that retail job. Right now, there is no one who's specialized in building specific assets on a specific engine for a metaverse. In the future, this is going to become a job. So I have a flower store. I'm going to go to the designers/developers for these assets. Now, these guys, where are they going to be? They're going to be based on the metaverse. So we want to be the first people to bring them on board. Because again, when you think about it, I just gave the example of flower shops, but think about the millions and millions of products that exist. Think about how are you going to be rendering a laptop or a phone or different thousands of phones. So really this in itself is a new job that's going to be created in the metaverse.
Yeah, I think exactly that. These are big ideas that will eventually people will come to realize as we get to a point where almost undoubtedly the digital economy is going to be bigger than the physical economy, right? People talk about the kind of metaverse, instead of GDP, MDP, right? So these are huge, big ideas and big visions that, as we've heard, with the context of the region are being built, and this is happening. When I've kind of first heard the vision for 2117 and these kind of four pillars and you know how kind of ambitious that was, my next question, which I think will be a lot of people's question, is okay, so what kind of evidence is there and what's been built so far? And then you showed me the space pods and the design and the level and the high quality of what is already being built. So maybe we can kind of bring it back to the sort of roadmap and what's happened right now. What can people view and what can they look forward to as the first step of this larger vision?
So yeah, the people will go through a journey with us. It's a full experience. When we say it's an experience-driven metaverse, it's really an experience-driven from the storyline, which I think is very clear for people. But that storyline is also linked to a real-life timeline. So we are taking them through a journey from Earth to Mars, which will take around 7 months, because in real life, every 2 years, it takes around 7 months to reach Mars, which is the shortest timeline. The people who will be able to basically get their access and join 2117, they will be part of that space pod, which is another pillar that we bet in. You know, the storyline was one, maybe the four pillars that Nofel mentioned, or the big vision and the big ideas that we have to co-create with the community members and the partners that we're going to develop as we move forward is a big value proposition for 2117. Also the aesthetics of the space pod that you have seen, Luke, and what we have also showcased maybe in multiple channels that we reach out to our community. We pay a lot of attention to these aesthetics that's going to be within the space pod and within the whole metaverse in general. Noful mentioned that we are developing a very hyper-realistic metaverse and that we are taking it seriously in every single item, the furniture, the look and feel of the place, the music that's going to be integrated, the avatars that's going to be as well introduced. So all of that going to be in terms of very close to reality. During that journey, Luke, people will be able to get engaged with multiple activities, multiple events. And that's another way of engaging people. And that's another way of creating value as well. Be it educational event, be it entertainment, be it entertainment from musical, it could be an art gallery, it could be a comedy show, it could be a live streaming of a specific event and a specific activity that's happening in the world. It could be as well in a partnership with a specific educational institute. There is an educational content being delivered as part of this journey. So that tells you there's all these quests, activity, challenges, events, storyline, aesthetics. But I would go back to the main statement I made at the beginning, which is we believe in the technology. And we basically are building this for the sake that we believe that this technology is the future. And this is why, even from development perspective, we are bringing this as a value for the community members. We are building this metaverse to really live forever. The way we are structuring it and the way we are designing it is that it will exist even if the company that developed it goes out of market. You know, it will basically be available for community members, for partners to continue co-develop on in 2117. This is what people should expect. And again, just also to be realistic, we are not saying this will be delivered in day one. You touched into a roadmap. So there is a roadmap of how this will be delivered. From a storyline, there is a seasonal roadmap. So every season, which is almost every year, consider we are delivering one of the top series on one of the big on-demand platforms. So there is every year, there is a season that's going to come out in terms of a storyline. And this is where we believe that the storytelling is extremely important. So we are engaging a group of writers, people that actually going to co-create that story with us. But also from functionality and utilities and value for people who are joining us, at the beginning, they will be able to experience the space pod. They will be able to basically experience the place that they will live in, be able to interact with the multiple utilities that we're going to be providing within the space pod. At early Q1 next year, 2023, the possibility of multiplayer avatars are being introduced, the possibility of them fulfilling certain quests and challenges will be there. And then within Q2, we will start introducing more features, more enhancements to the metaverse, more spaces, more common areas will be introduced within the spaceship that they're going to be traveling with. So people will be able to access auditoriums, classrooms, workshops, as Noful mentioned. He focused on the houses and how people within the houses will be able to co-create and brainstorm on the ideas and design them so they can meet in these common areas, they can meet in these workshop spaces and work on these challenges that are going to be introduced. By Q3, we will most likely be landing on Mars, and that's when the 7 months will be completed. People will be able to experience how does the colony look like? What is the expansion possibilities? How does the ecosystem work within the colony? They will be able to see the buildings, the offices, the retail shops being available. And that's we're going to also co-create with multiple partners as well, people that are specialized in operating such spaces. At the end of the year, we're going to start building the complementary components that goes around the metaverse. We believe that there is a lot of interconnectivity that has to be introduced between the Web3 and Web2. The example that Noful mentioned when it comes to a retail store, there is a lot of interconnectivity that has to happen between the two different technologies because it's different than just an e-commerce platform. You know, you are in the metaverse, you are actually experiencing the item, you like it, you could actually request it to be designed in a different look and feel and maybe different colors. And then that has to hit the inventory system in the Web2 retail store. It has to basically execute the logistics there. So that interconnectivity is being introduced. Maybe we also planning to introduce our token by end of year next year. So this is the roadmap for the next year that what we have and what we disclosed actually in the event when we launched 2117. We believe that basically gives enough work for us to keep us busy. And I guess it also gives a lot of content for people who are looking at the metaverse 2117. 7.
Yeah, and I'd encourage people to go and check out. There's a video from the launch event, kind of a keynote where you run through a lot of these pillars and a lot of this stuff. So I'll link that in the show notes for sure, and people should definitely go and check that out, because I think that helps bring it to life and see the visuals of this as well, and see the design of the spaceship. And Alexis, who's working with you, who's an amazing 3D designer, one of the kind of the best in the world, is creating this vision. So when you see it in front of you, it really helps bring it to life as well. We're heading towards the end of the chat, but Naufal, I wanted to ask about the Citizens drop specifically, to help people kind of focus on what's coming next, and if they want to get involved, obviously having done their own research and all that stuff, maybe you could just talk to us a little bit about that, how you're running it as an open edition, but also you'll be able to come and visit 2117 if you're not to citizenship as well, just without some of those benefits. So yeah, maybe you could chat to us about that.
Yeah, so basically, as you said, there are two types of users in 2117. There is the citizens and the visitors. So if you're a citizen, or if you want to be a citizen, you need a citizenship, obviously. If you're a visitor, you can come without any prerequisites. However, now, if you're a citizen, you get a full line of benefits, including what we've been talking about, the co-creation part and being part of these houses where you're building and actually making revenues for yourself through these houses and the work that's going to be done through these houses. But you're also getting all, first thing you're going to get after you get your citizenship is going to be your house, your space pod. The space pods that you saw, Luke, that's going to be all given to the owners and the holders of the citizenship. Throughout the journey from Earth to Mars, that's going to be your house on the spaceship, but it's also going to turn into your house at the colony itself. So the moment we reach the colony, you will be able to extend it, add a swimming pool or whatever you want to add a third room, fourth room, whatever you want to do. But you'll get it as a free NFT for you. In addition to that, you get part of the revenues of the whole metaverse, whether in the metaverse or outside the metaverse. So anything that's 2117 related, you get part of that revenues that goes back as dividends. And in addition to that, you also get the whole season lined up for you with free drops. We don't want to disclose these details yet, but like a lot of giveaways and gifts and things that you can get as a citizen. And really what we're trying to do here is we're trying to encourage people to be active in building the future. A lot of us sitting here, most of us are using tools and apps that we were not part of building, whether that's social media or delivery tools and so on and so forth. But if we were part of building that, we would have built them differently. We would have built them in a way that would have greater impacts on our life. And this is what we want to do. We want to give them the opportunity to people who are serious and willing to build, to take part of this building through the citizenship. Now, why is it an open edition? It is an open edition because, again, of our values. We spent a lot of time thinking about this. We spent a lot of time talking about this. And I remember we ran it by multiple people before we went live with it, including you. We just wanted to show people that, listen, our values are about humanity, are about unity, are about equality, equity, and so on and so forth. Now, if we make it a limited edition, it's going to be an elitist project, whether we like it or not. It means that if you get a chance or a whitelist, you get in. That's it. But we don't want to do that because, again, one, it just shows that there is a dissonance between our values and what we're doing. And the second part, it will put us in that speculative bubble that we don't want to be part of, right? So we don't want to be a product or a project that is based on hype and speculation. What we want to be is really taken seriously. People that join us are going to help us build. We are building no matter what. We are building if we mint 20,000, and we're building if we mint 1,000. We actually already started building, as you know. And the idea is really just to onboard this initial part of the users that are going to help us move forward, but are also going to be part of testing everything. Because again, if we are working on silos, we don't know what people in the community will want. Now, the way we're doing it, whether through our social medias, we really spend a lot of time with our community, listening to them. So if you go to our social media accounts, you would see that this is the way we approach everything. We listen to our community. We ask them to give us feedback. We want to hear not just, oh, this is a beautiful place and you're doing an amazing job. We want to hear the tough questions. We want them to actually hold us accountable for what we promise, for what we deliver, and the quality at which we deliver. And that's why In our mint, it's an open mint. The mint is going to be, for the private sale, is going to be at 0.2117. And for the public sale, it's going to be at 0.25. The reason in between this price is really because, one, the public is going to be open to fiat investors through a couple of partnerships that actually we're working in that will help us spread the word on the Web2 side of things. And also, we want to reward people that come in early. Because if you come in after the fact, it means that, well, either you didn't hear about it or you were not interested. If you didn't hear about it, you still have a chance to join. But if you were not interested, now you still have a chance, but the people that came earlier are rewarded.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good strategy and one that I've not seen a lot elsewhere. And this project, I think, is unique in a lot of ways. And that drop kind of mirrors that as well. We're kind of coming towards the end now. I mean, I guess I just wanted to ask you to maybe summarize a little bit. And what's kind of the final thing you want to say to people who are hearing about this, excited now, understanding the context and the region and also the big vision, but also that, you know, you're building and you have a product already and want to be part of this journey. What would you say to them and where would you send people to find out more?
I would like to basically maybe summarize by saying something. Maybe I said it in one of the close events. So it didn't go public. But you might have noticed that when we talk about 2117, there is a lot of passion from our side, myself and Nofel, and you would have seen that in the entire team here. This is actually an opportunity, and one opportunity where we are bringing not only our professional skill and our professional experience to create what we believe is the technology of the future. We are also bringing our personal passion. Every single one of us within Bedu is bringing his personal passion as well as his professional interest and skill in the creation of 2117. And this is what we are also asking the community. This is what we desire, and this is why we believe, so that they can bring also their personal passion, they bring their professional experience, because we are not going to create this by ourselves. We want them to co-create, co-design, co-develop and build the future with us. This is, I believe, my statement and my message to everybody. They can for sure find all the information they need through, I would say, three trusted channels. So they can actually see everything in our Twitter account, 2117, under 2117.io. They can go on our website, 2117.io. They can also go to our Discord, which is available on our Twitter account. They can access these three channels and they can get the information that they need for sure. They can also read our white paper. We're going to continuously basically enhance that with more detail and more content that's going to come on as we basically disclose more information. This is my basically closing remarks on for the community.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And thank you both for coming on to explain this vision. It's an exciting time to be involved with it and to be an ambassador as well. I'm really happy to do that and be part of it. And yeah, would just encourage people to go and check it out, do their research. And we'll hopefully see lots of people on the journey as well. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us, Luke. This was a really interesting chat.
Thank you for having us.
So there we go, an awesome chat with Amin and Naufel, all about what is shaping up to be something pretty impressive and a major vision from the region. So thank you to both of them for coming on the show. Appreciate that. I've added some resources that we talked about in the show notes, of course. If you do want to reach out as well, always nice to hear from you. It's at Luke_Franks on Twitter. Thank you very much to EveryRealm for sponsoring the show as well. Appreciate that. Most of all, thank you very much for listening. I love seeing your reviews as well. So thank you if you do leave one of those. Have a great rest of your week and I'll see you for next week's episode.